From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Royteam.
Good morning, happy Tuesday, and thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. We got a ton to discuss with you this morning, like we do every single morning. Today, businesses must boot anyone out without a mask. Seattle also has a new payroll tax four times bigger than the infamous head tax, and we'll be discussing that and so much more. Dr. Angela Rasmussen joins us at 10 o'clock this morning. Let's get to the show. Oh, Ursula, good morning.
Good morning.
It's a Tuesday. It's a Tuesday, so I need to get fired up a little bit.
This morning you sounded a little bit groggier during our morning meeting, and I said, you know, we were like, what's up? And you said, it feels like a Tuesday. Like, is Tuesday now our Thursday?
Nah. You know what? Tuesday is the new Monday.
Ah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Monday, you're like, oh, okay, you get ready for the week. And then Tuesday, you realize, like, yeah, you ready? You ready? Because this is
a
week.
You've got four more days.
Well, here's the deal, Ursula. No mask, no service. That rule begins today. Businesses now have to kick out customers who don't have a mask. So we'll start off this conversation by asking, and of course, our awesome listeners, you can always text us and weigh in on the conversation on the State Roofing text line 98973. Is this the right approach, putting businesses in charge of enforcement? Ursula, what you think?
Well, I think it's unfortunately the point where we've reached, because, as you know, the cases continue to go up around the country and here in Washington. In fact, we had a record number of new cases in one day yesterday. So the fact that we still don't have this virus under control, and there are still too many people who refuse to do something as simple as wearing a mask for whatever reason that is. So the idea of saying, well, you can't go to places where there might be, you know, more than a few people, like businesses, I think in this case, it's something that could help.
I'm going to err on the side of being positive on this, because here's how I look at the mask situation. I believe you have a large portion of the country that are like, hey, I don't really understand. I'm not a virologist. I'm not an epidemiologist. I don't understand the science. But you know what? They're telling me I should wear a mask. I'm going to wear a mask. So you have those. Then you have those out there that's like, I don't want to wear the mask, but I have to wear the mask. So I'm going to wear the mask. Right. And then you have those that are just like, hey, this is messing with my freedom. You know what I mean? They're trying to take my guns away, and they're trying to make me wear a mask. Mm-hmm. You have those out there as well. So the majority of people are going to be wearing a mask. There's going to be a very small percentage of folks that aren't wearing a mask. So the question is it right for businesses to be able to enforce that? Well, businesses are able to enforce it when you don't have on a shirt or you don't wear shoes. So, yeah, that's really the only line of defense on that. I mean, you can call the police if somebody is refusing to leave your business if they don't wear a mask. It's probably all that you can do. So we're going to be seeing.
Yeah, I want to get into that, too, though. It is the right thing to call 911, because we know this is going to be causing conflicts. It has been. And, in fact, this past week in Leavenworth, teen girl and her friend were turned away from the Cold Stone Creamery ice cream shop there in Leavenworth. And employees had told them that the shirts that they had pulled up over their faces did not count as a mask. So they were told to leave. But the mother of one of those girls returned to that shop and started filming.
You discriminated against kids.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did. You discriminated against them.
We cannot discriminate at all. We asked every person who did the same thing that your kids did today to leave the store.
Okay, well, you guys are discriminating against them. That is not what Governor Inslee said. He said a face covering, that you could use a scarf, you can use a bandeau, you can use many different things as long as your face is covered.
If you have a problem with that, then don't come to the store.
Oh, we won't. And I'm from here, and I will make sure that everyone in Leavenworth knows that you guys discriminated against kids coming in here to have ice cream.
We get paid by the hour, so go for it.
Ah.
Okay, so that
I got
young
so much
girl
to say to that.
Okay, yeah. So here's the deal, though.
Yeah.
So the mother was taking issue with one of the workers at the store, and another one comes to help her because the mother is basically, you know, filming and giving her grief.
Right.
So the other one comes in and says, hey, you don't like it? That's our thing. Well, the owner of this shop ends up firing the girl who came to the defense of her coworker.
Yeah, and okay, all right. So, oh, wait.
I don't think that's right. So if you are saying that this is our policy, and now, by the way, it's by governor order,
mm-hmm.
and someone comes in, and granted, if the governor includes face covering being, you know, a shirt over your face, then that is something that the owner of that store should have told his young employees, hey, I'm okay with this, 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 and this. They're trying to do their best to follow what the owner says is the rule and what now the governor has says is an order. Mm-hmm. And the first sign of pressure, now one of them is fired?
Well, that okay. Let's start from the beginning. The lady coming in, and she's recording, and she's upset that her daughters were kicked out, and she kind of goes over what Governor Jay Inslee said about, hey, wear something, a scarf, or something like that, and she's talking about that. Now, maybe the adult coming in, the mom coming in, yeah, maybe her message is, maybe she's a little hasty, whatever, but this is a business. This is an establishment where, notice you said young kids. See, that's the problem. That's what happens. A lot of times people just throw 16 and 17-year-olds, and they expect them to run the business. Meanwhile, the owner, who knows where the owner is? Now, let's get back to this. So the first young lady seems to be kind of handling okay. And then the other young lady comes to the fold, and she jumps in, and she's like, hey, if you don't like our business, you can just go. You can just leave. She's wrong, Ursula.
How was she wrong? How was she the teen who came to the rescue of her coworker who was having trouble with this mom who was berating her for telling her to go? How is this other person wrong? How is that? We just talked about no shoes, no shirts, no service because
there is a way to handle this. And here's the thing. I don't have a huge expectation on someone 16 and 17 being able to handle this. This is why the importance of a manager should be there. This is why the importance of a higher wage to pay someone to do that. When you're paying someone minimum wage, then you're going to get a minimum wage type response in that case.
And in the absence of one, so it was left to these teenagers or these young people.
Key?
And then. Mm-hmm. One of them loses their job. I mean, at the very least, as the owner of that shop, because the owner hasn't given a reason. Apparently, he claims it wasn't because of that. And so I don't know. But just given what we see here, if you are expecting young people to enforce whatever rule you have at your store, you need to back them up, or you need to train them in how to deal with these sorts of situations.
Well, it sounds like there's a bigger problem here. Again, there's going to be a lot of enforcement, and that's the question. So companies are going to be put on the hook to enforce these laws throughout the state of Washington, making people are going to have a mask on to purchase or buy, whatever the case might be. And then when it comes to the enforcement, it's usually on probably someone who is a teenager and someone who is probably making a minimum wage. And by the way, I am not saying that a teenager can't handle things. But I am saying is if the owner is expecting a 16 and 17-year-old to handle someone like that, then there right there in lies the problem. Now, do I think that they should have lost their job based on that? Well, if I was the owner, I wouldn't have fired her. But I don't know why the owner fired her either. You said we didn't know that. But there are ways to handle those things in this parent. They're, okay, hold up, Ursula.
Yeah, and I want to take issue with the parent too, because this is a parent of two teen girls dealing with two young people working at an ice cream shop making, as you said, minimum wage probably.
Right. Well, one thing about we parents, Ursula, and I'm guilty, you're guilty. We parents, we guilty. We are quick to jump to our kids' defense without really knowing what happened. We're not perfect. We need to be better. We're not perfect. So sometimes we go into situations hot, not really knowing the story. I've been in those situations before. I'm guilty. I'll go ahead and call it. Sounds like this mom kind of went in. She went in hot. Maybe she was a little off the hook. She could have calmed down a little bit. But this would have been a time where it would have been good to have someone with experience, maybe a manager that was there that can say, ma'am, we apologize about that. Kind of talk that through a little bit as well. But what ended up happening is fire met fire, right? And it had an explosion.
Yeah. And how many times is this going to happen now? And so you're right. Should this be left to these people who are maybe at the lowest rung of you know, the business, to have to deal with that difficult task? So often we see, I mean, I feel like it should be a manager who has to deal with that. But that also brings us to the next point, which is, what would you do? Because I have seen I have seen more confrontations at stores. I told Chef the other day that I saw one at a Safeway where there was an alleged shoplifter who apparently was caught in the act, and he was screaming and bellowing, and the store security, was holding him. At the counter, I mean, and it was a spectacle. And the store security called 911, and the alleged shoplifter also called 911. And I will just tell you that in the 30 minutes that I was there, because I just was almost like watching a train wreck, I didn't see anyone come. So that's not going to be top priority for police if you're going to call. So if you're going to have this kind of confrontation, too, with a store employee over a mask, I don't know that 911 is going to help you.
The coronavirus attacks underlying issues. You know, I've been saying that the last 2 days.
Yeah, but I want to know. So if you were to see some confrontation like this, what would you do?
I'd probably just mind my business. And as long as a woman or a kid is not being attacked, I'm probably going to mind my business. That's 9 times out of 10 what I'm going to do. I'm telling you. If it's a woman being attacked physically or something like that, you know me. I'm going to jump in. I'm going to do something. If it's a kid, I'm going to jump in and do something. But for the most part, I'm going to mind my business. The reason why I started with the underlying conditions that the coronavirus attacks, and I just want to say this. Overall, right now, the conversation we're having, going back and forth, talking about who's going to be enforcing things, we're really going into the conversation of the truth of the matter. Most of these businesses, especially in cases of fast food, are 16 and 17-year-olds that are running these businesses.
Yeah.
And they're being paid minimum wage. But I want to go back into, Ursula, I'm not going to do anything because I don't want to risk me putting my hands on anyone. That's number one. And number two, sometimes when if someone meddles into something, it might make the situation even that much worse. So we really should be having a conversation on, hey, businesses, you might have to, A, start making sure you're vetting your employees and just not just putting anybody working in your establishment. And B, you might want to pay a little bit more so you can get better quality service.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
I think there should be training. And I think that also, you know, you should empower your employees how to deal with that. And then, you know, if they come into a situation like that, I would say, unless the employee did something egregious, I would say back up your employee. But if I were to see something like that, and if there was a power dynamic where, you know, I'm an adult and I'm seeing that a young person is being berated or treated badly, or, you know, is in any kind of, I would intervene. I would at least try to talk some calm into the situation, or, you know, do something, because, you know, it would be like seeing something horrible happen and then just standing by. And I think that I would have a real issue with.
Hey, Ursula, in your lifetime, you having your two boys, have you ever gone into any situation to complain about something that happened with your kids to some teenagers? Ever. Have you ever been in that situation?
If I've complained to other teenagers?
So what I'm saying is have you ever... So, with your boys, have you ever been in a situation where you had to, there was something that involved your sons and you had to go and talk to teenagers to get to the bottom of something? I just thought about that for a second because I've never had that happen before.
Yes. One time. But I will say this, and my boys will back me up on this.
What's that?
You know, as much as I think that they're, you know, just wonderful boys, et cetera, growing up, I would always, I had such high expectations that I would oftentimes, they would say, how come you always take that person's side? Because I always wanted to make sure that I heard every side before I would assume that my kid was in the right. So that probably didn't help your situation here. I'm just saying, you know, I had certain expectations but I understand where I do believe that some parents, you know, will think that their kids do no wrong and will assume that it's the other person's bad behavior.
Just to clarify real quick, the teenagers were correct in this case, the store workers. So the law that went into effect requires face masks in public or several layers tied around the head.
Okay, so
you can't
just
pull up a shirt. So they were in the right, and I think it is 100% fine and should be normalized more in society to fire customers.
There you go.
The customer is not always right.
I know. I was taught. I worked in retail. I was told the customer is always right. But you know what? There are times that you see some horrific behavior, and you know what? There's no way that you can say that customer was right.
I've definitely seen it before, 100%. And sometimes I just look and I'm just like, wow, I can't believe it. I just saw it the other day at the post office. I told you guys that story. The lady didn't want to wear a mask inside of there. She told everybody she had breathing problems, and she was like, and she had a little baby with her. Anyways, yeah, I see it, and I just kind of shake my head. I don't say anything. But again, 99% of the time, and the question is this: what am I going to do if I see someone having a tissy fit about the mask? I'm going to mind my business unless it's a woman or child being hurt.
You going to pull out your cell phone, though?
By the way, this is coming from the guy who I witnessed at CHOP. Excuse me, but you and I were in the middle of a conversation, and you saw some ruckus going on, and you were sprinting in your Crocs to try to...
that's because they went to go
try to help out. You didn't know exactly what was going on, but you saw trouble and you started sprinting toward it.
I did, but I saw them.
You out.
Okay. That's fair. I did see them trying to grab the lady and try to grab the microphone, and that's why I sprinted. Okay. A lot of times, I try to mind my business. I didn't know that we were going to talk about that long. How did that happen?
I don't know. We didn't even get... We have something very important that we need to get to, so we're going to get to that in the next segment.
Jeez. Well, blame me, because I was kind of shocked at your answer, so I apologize. Coming up at 9:47, we're going to find out. There's a company out there that's offering $10,000 for a summer job, and it's something I wouldn't do. I wonder if you would. Coming up next at 9:33, Chris Sullivan, he comes in to talk about the Seattle City Council's passing a jumpstart tax that I absolutely disagree with. It's Gene Ursula.
So much for hanging out with us here on the G and Ursula Show on this Tuesday morning. Coming up about 15 minutes from now, we're going to tell you about a unique summer job that could pay you $10,000 just to do something in the toilet. And this was brought to our attention by G.
Oh, thanks for throwing me under the bus. Hey, I just got to say, like, if there's one thing that I'm just not good at, is knowing when one topic that we're going to talk about is being talking. Like, I had people text messaging me about that. Like, that was a big deal.
That last topic?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. No, I've got all these people emailing me, agreeing with me, by the way. So we're going to have to make sure we share those.
Hey, people are agreeing with you because you basically wanted to, you were on the side of the employees.
Well, yes, because I don't think you need to treat your customers well, but the customers are not always right. And one of our listeners just emailed and said it beautifully, where she said she's been in customer service all her life. She says, the customer is not always right, but the customer is always the customer and deserves respect as such. But I also believe a retail clerk deserves respect. The woman was clearly out of bounds in confronting this employee. If she had an issue A better approach would have been to ask for a manager, or if a manager was not present, to write a letter. It was not her place to train and inform these employees, who happen to be very young, too. And we also got other texts from people who work, like, one at a bar.
This one was amazing, from the 206. I'm a bartender at a restaurant. I'm 47 years old, very experienced at dealing with the public. Keep in mind, bartenders deal with everything. The mask issue is the worst issue I've ever had to deal with. In general, it's older white men, but white women are the second worst. It's terrible. People yell, spit, throw tantrums. I can barely deal with it, and I'm a grown-up. Teenagers cannot.
Okay, imagine that. That you're putting all of that weight to have to enforce that on young people. And it's just, yeah.
So
it's not going to be pretty.
Bigger issue, right?
So it's on grown-ups to be grown-ups.
Yeah, how about that?
How about that? Wow! Yeah.
But if you are going to expect people to do something in your business, make sure that your employees are trained and they are backed up.
Yeah. Okay, what you got for us, buddy?
Okay, well, as long as we're speaking about bad behavior, I do want to bring up, remember the King County Sheriff's Detective that we were talking about yesterday, who had posted those offensive posts on his personal Facebook page about the protester who lost her life on I-5 Saturday night. So the update after the show was over yesterday, we found out that this detective, whose name is Mike Brown, a 40-year veteran of the sheriff's office, he has been put on paid leave, and he is now under internal investigation because of those posts. And just a reminder, because a lot of people haven't seen them, but one of them posted, I mean, and this was just shortly after these Black Lives Matter protesters were hit and one of them was killed. He posted a meme showing a vehicle running over people with the caption, "All lives splatter." And then it also said, "Keep your," it was an expletive, "off the road." So the King County Sheriff came out yesterday and spoke about it with some reporters and said, you know, essentially, that's not in keeping with the sheriff's office policy, and she wanted the investigation expedited.
So here's a few things that shocked me about this. Am I shocked that, like, before all of this, 4 or 5 months ago, would I be shocked that this would come from anyone that possibly might be in law enforcement? No, I wouldn't be shocked. And as a matter of fact, it probably would just blow over. But considering the climate that we're in right now, like right now, and for this person, for this law enforcement officer to do that in this climate, just put it out there and have no problem with it and be okay with a post that says "all lives splatter" and actually have a vehicle hitting someone. Like, I have to tell you, Ursula, I am so shocked at that. Like, and you got to think, like, if he could do this right here, I wonder what he has done in his past. Am I to think that this is the first time that he's ever done something? Is this one of those things where he's like, "Oh, I am so sorry. My apologies." It seems as if "my apologies" or "and I'm sorry" seem to kind of work for some, when some of these folks have so much power, so much influence over situations in the lives of others. So when I see this, and we're talking about this right now, I have to tell you, I'm really shocked that he would do this. And one last point I want to make. I'm really shocked that when he did it, other law enforcement officials liked it and were commenting on it. Like, what are you doing? Like,
well, and it speaks to what we have talked about. And remember when we talked to former King County Sheriff Sue Rahr, who is in charge of the training for new law enforcement down there in Burien. And she said, we have to have a change in culture in policing. And here's part of our interview that we did with her.
It takes literally a generation to completely change a culture. However, culture is influenced by what's rewarded and what's tolerated, and you can influence a culture fairly quickly.
So I'm going to give credit to current King County Sheriff Mitzi Johanknik for taking very quick action. I know that there are going to be people who say, well, you know, that was his personal media page, and what right does anyone have to your own social media. I will say, just even in our business, we have been told that what we put on our social media, even if it's my personal Facebook page that I had before, well, I've worked here for so long, but, you know, that has nothing to do with work. They have, our company basically has ownership of that and have certain expectations because I represent the company.
What about ownership of your TikTok page?
My kids would disown me if I started TikTok. I don't have that. But that all counts as social media, right? And so in the case of this particular officer who has been with the sheriff's office for 40 years and it works detail for Dow Constantine, also apparently worked, you know, basically was the driver for Ron Sims, I understand. So, I mean, he's been with the office for a long time. It's like you would think that they would understand that some of these things, especially now, would be an issue.
Especially now. But that just, you want to talk about culture. The culture part of it is for so long, they've been able to do what they want. So this is new. These last 3-4 months, this is new, being held accountable. Like, it shocked me that we kind of touched on this story yesterday. And I got to tell you, I didn't really think that this was going to go that far. I mean, I thought, wow, I can't believe he did that. That's what. But it went far. When I saw that the sheriff put out a statement on it that fast and he was put on leave, I said, whoa, man, folks aren't playing any games at all. And so.
Well, you can't have someone, though, like that tainting the entire department, because then you would start asking, well, do they all feel like this? If this is the person who's going to be responding to my accident scene, are they going to be that callous? To make fun of someone's life being lost?
I want to touch on why this is important right now and why it's a big deal. So the attitude both by this police officer and so many people who have commented through our text line on articles online, on Facebook posts saying, you know what, you get what you deserve. You play on the freeway, no big deal, you die. One, this
natural
was intentional.
Natural selection.
Two, here's the deal. This is exactly the attitude that we are trying to change right now. Because for too long, everyone has justified police killings by saying he shouldn't have done something wrong. He shouldn't have resisted, even if he wasn't. He was in the wrong place. He was being disrespectful to the officer. He smoked marijuana in the past. Justifying the killing of another human being under those circumstances is exactly what we're fighting against. And the attitudes that say it's not a big deal because... That's exactly the fight we're having right now. That's why it's a big deal.
When you talk about trying to change a culture and a needing to be an entire generation, well, I think this is a start.
I'm very argumentative about a lot of topics. This is probably a topic that is hard. It's hard for me to argue. It is hard for me to debate and have a conversation with someone who's like, well, yeah, that's what they deserve. Like, I just don't understand justification of someone being killed. This is hard for me. I'm tough. Before we get out of here, I just want to say, Ursula, I got hit up on Twitter by Ann Peavy, and she says, the woman who berated the workers in Leavenworth has been stirring up people for weeks, suggesting a week earlier that others go to the farmer's market without masks.
Oh, there you go.
She's an agitator. Also, the gal that was fired was 24 years old and not 16 years old.
Okay. Good. Thank you for the details.
Coming up next, Ursula, she wants to do a summer job and find out what she would do to make $10,000. Oh, Ursula. Gee and Ursula. Dr. Angela Rasmussen joins us at 10 o'clock with the latest on the coronavirus. But right now, there's a job you can apply for that pays you $10,000 and you can do it from home. All from the comfort of your toilet. Here's the application.
My name is Ashley. Welcome to my favorite place in the world, my bathroom. As you can see here, I'm joined by my best friend and my spiritual guide, my Tushy Classic Bidet. We've been together for 3 years. I installed her myself. I use her religiously, and I will not shut the f*** up about her. I say, Tushy can make a 5-wipe situation into one. As a menstruating shitting human who enjoys experimenting in the kitchen, I sometimes shit up to 4 times a day. There's a lot of maintenance going on down under. So generally, I have a better day when I begin with a gentle spray. I have experience in acting, customer service, childcare, and of course, dropping kids off at the pool. Honestly, though, through the duration of this quarantine, it's become even clearer how important it is to normalize bodily functions, bathroom talk, and our relationship to both. All of these things and more are why me, my gut, and my butt are the perfect trio for the VP of Fecal Matters at Tushy.
See, it's all about the title. The VP. The VP of Fecal Matter is your title for this.
That's and Ashley Krasinski. That is her title. I was like, what on earth is this all about?
So here's the deal. So there is an opportunity for you, but there's a bidet company out there, Ursula, that is going that will be willing for you to pay, and you would use their product from your home. And so you would journal your experiences. You do it online, and basically, you know, no more toilet paper, because, you know, we as a country, when this pandemic started, we all rushed to go get toilet paper. But now the bidets percentages have gone up. People are purchasing those. So the question right now is on you, Ursula. For $10,000 for a summer job, would you do this to journal your potty activity?
For $10,000, you bet I would.
Ursula, okay, you're throwing me off today. You really would?
Wait, I mean, if just to journal it and then give the information to the company, would I put myself on a commercial doing it? Probably not.
Well, that's what I mean. Well, not necessarily. you know, the new school journaling by setting up your camera and you don't show all of yourself, but you show your legs and show your trowel down, you know, your trousers down at your ankles
on social media.
No,
huh? Chef, would you do it? 10,000?
Oh yeah, yeah. It's the log blog. No problem.
Oh no. Okay. I'm not surprised that Chef would do it. Come on.
Well, I mean, I have no shame.
But gee, would you do it?
No. No. You know what, and here's why. I'm just way too weird. You know what I mean? When it comes to that. I mean, I don't know why.
Would you have shy bladder and then it would just get thrown off? Your journaling would be problematic.
Yeah, I couldn't do it because I would imagine they'd want you to keep the sound on. You feel me?
I
couldn't do it.
Why don't we use bidets in this country? They're pretty normal almost everywhere else, and they're great.
I know. When I grew up in the Philippines, we had a bidet that was back in the 70s. They were really popular.
The first time ever, junior year, spring break, out in Amsterdam. I was in Amsterdam, and that's the first time I found out about a bidet. And, of course, I didn't know what it was. You know what? I'm not even going to finish telling the rest of that story. It doesn't even matter. Because it didn't go like it was supposed to.
I just thought it was a water fountain right there. You asked for this story to be in this segment, so I think it was just because you love the fact that this woman is the VP of Fecal Matters at a company called Tushy.
Coming up next, Dr. Angela Rasmussen, virologist from Columbia University, to help us better understand what's going on with the coronavirus. This is Gene Ursula.